It is time for the Berkshire Edge on air. You can find them at theberkshireedge.com, but you can find them on a Wednesday morning right here on Robin Hood Radio. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning.
And how are you guys? You guys have made you
three
guys
stories from Great Barrington.
You guys have made headlines across the nation.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yes, we have, indeed.
Great Barrington has made headlines across the nation.
It certainly has.
We are, you know, our town meeting the other night, the town voted really, not unanimously, but overwhelmingly, to ban single-use bottles, or whatever, what are they
plastic.
Called? The plastic bottles, water bottles.
Yeah.
For single use,
like Poland Spring.
Yeah, the little
ones,
and the little water bottles,
the little ones,
which are
not the liter size, but the little ones.
Yeah. Right, the little ones that Marshall used to carry around. They will be banned. But
what's
really interesting, I just happened to be at I happened to be at the mobile station yesterday, in between on the hutch.
Mm-hmm.
The one with the fake pine tree
and
the very costly gas.
On the hutch down. Close
that
to
one,
York
the one
City.
With the tree that looks ridiculous.
Oh yes, the fake.
That's it. Okay.
Cell tower.
Correct. It's a landmark. But the reason I am mentioning this is because you could barely get through for all of the single-serving water. There is such a water business. And what is the size? Up to what size have they?
I don't know how many ounces that is, but it's the single-serving water bottles. You know, that not the liter size bottles where you can pour several glasses out, but they're
What about the sports bottles? Because that's what I was.
Sports bottles. I'm not sure what.
Okay. What do you mean by sports
the
bottles?
The ones with the they are bigger than the little ones.
Those probably wouldn't. Those aren't banned. It's the the 12 ounce bottles or the smaller ones. But you know, it was really an amazing experience, and David. Has thought about it more because he's actually pulled together all the information for our article. There were three or four women who came up with this idea. They started thinking about it last June because the Berkshire International Film Festival showed a film about the pollution, of plastic pollution in the oceans. And then they showed it again in January here in Great Barrington. And so these, I think it's three of them, right, David? Or two or four. You know, they just...
They're the Berkshire Women's Action Group.
Right.
It started out as a political, more of a political group, from the Four Freedoms. But they just took this on as a project and were appalled by this film. This documentary, which showed, miles, square miles of floating plastic trash in the Pacific Ocean, these great dumps. And the more they looked into it, the more they realized how the debris, not just the whole bottles, but the breakdown of of all this plastic into microplastic particles, is infiltrating the food chain, and it's quite alarming.
And fish and birds are ingesting plastic. In many cases, it chokes them, or it fills their stomachs, and so they can't eat anymore because the plastic isn't being processed. So their digestive systems are are being plugged. When they die, they have pieces of plastic in them. I think they never thought that this would pass, and I thought it was really a long shot. But they recruited three high school girls who made a presentation that was incredibly effective. This is, three young women who made the case for the world that they want to live in and the deterioration of the world that they're living in now, with photos of these dead birds and dead fish and photos of the plastic debris all, you know, all over scenic areas.
And beaches.
And beaches. And it was amazingly effective. There was one person who got up and spoke.
Well, can I address that?
Yes.
Well, there was the one person who opposed this, at least publicly, spoke before the town meeting, was the chairman of the Republican Party, Andy Morrow, who declared that this would hurt business because they wouldn't be able to sell these plastic water bottles or, you know, single-serving water bottles anymore. But actually, the three students pointed out, had a slide in which more than 40 businesses in Great Barrington supported this measure.
Including several stores that now sell water,
that's right.
Water bottles.
So that was quite effective. Those three students really changed. In fact, we had a story this morning, a kind of news analysis, how it was precarious whether or not this ban on plastic water bottles would pass. But these three students really changed the whole tenor of the meeting, and I think they convinced people to look at the world through their perspective, which is, you know, a future that seemed bleaker because of this plastic pollution. And they were seeking solutions, or at least thinking about at least solutions to this this plethora of plastic, and it was really astonishing.
Yes, I mean these kids really should be very proud of themselves. I mean if you support it, otherwise they are enemies of the people if you don't. But the vote was taken, and we vote, but it wasn't a secret ballot. It was everybody was given a yellow piece of paper, and then you know when you vote at town meeting, you raise your yellow piece of paper, and it's very, you can see how many hands go up with the yellow pieces of paper. And this was overwhelming. There were very few people against, and it was a big attendance. The high school the high school auditorium was almost full. There was over about 350 people there, which is many more than were there last year. So we are the third community in the nation. It's Concord, Massachusetts, and is it Sudbury?
Sudbury, yeah.
Sudbury, Massachusetts,
yep.
And now Great Barrington. So the third community in the nation, and all three of them are in Massachusetts, which is interesting. So what people are, and this doesn't take place until May 1st of 2019, so that, you know, everybody has time to prepare for it. But certainly, I mean, I'm not going to buy any more bottled water. I mean, my sensitivity, my consciousness has been raised. And so they are proposing, you know, that stores offer, or that you know, there may be a line of Great Barrington water containers, that if refillable containers, stores can offer, come in and fill up. I think nobody has gone the next step yet, but it will really be, I'm hoping that this will take off because, you know, we all remember the days when we were growing up that nobody carried around water. I mean, you didn't pay for water. You didn't have these plastic water bottles. And people managed quite well without their individual plastic water bottles. So we can all carry around our refillable containers. It's not an inconvenience. It's just that it is an
issue. It's going to require some retraining.
All I can say is, there goes from the graduate the
plastics.
One word, plastics.
Yeah, actually, wasn't referring to bottles.
One word for you.
Yeah, that movie was really prescient, wasn't it? I mean, like,
I think that's great. right. All right. All right. Let's move on.
All right.
We'll move on from plastics because this is a great Barrington. This is a great Barrington featured show because one of four towns now selected to take part in a Heat Smart campaign. What is Heat Smart?
Heat Smart is a campaign to save people money on their heating and cooling bills by what is called a heat pump.
Yeah.
And this is a technique that the town is trying to offer to its residents, and it's an interesting way in which people can save money on their heating bills, but also provide a little relief to the environment as well.
It works both ways in heating and cooling.
Yeah, works both ways.
And I've seen houses that have converted and new houses that have been built that way.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Literally their energy bill, the energy bill to heat and cool the house is virtually nothing after it's installed. It is so low, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a really interesting, innovative technique, and so we're going to have a series of articles on this particular initiative, it's part of a whole partnership with the Massachusetts Clean Energy Center, the Department of Energy Resources, to encourage this kind of construction and installation throughout the state. But Great Barrington is one of the four towns that is going to be one of the models for this. And so we're going to, have a series of articles periodically explaining how to set this up. And Massachusetts and Great Barrington in particular are really progressive. You know, it makes you feel good about living here, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we felt at the town meeting the other day.
Really,
and there were it was interesting because we have had in past, and this is something that's true around the country, but we've had very contentious fights over passing the school budget, which is, a major part of our town expense, and which goes up 4 or 5 or 6% every year, our school taxes are paid entirely by property taxes here, and we've had really big fights over it. And this year, there was a kind of recognition that we need to be supporting our schools, even though we have a big population in the Berkshires of either retired people and second homeowners, but retired people who live here full time, who come to town meeting because you can't come if you're a second homeowner and you vote someplace else. You can observe, but you can't vote. And so we have a lot of retired people whose children have been educated someplace else and who have really no interest in local schools, but have recognized the fact that, without a good local school, there's no good local town. And this school budget went through very quickly. There was a kind of civic togetherness over these expenses, even though one woman did get up at the town meeting and said, look, 8% increase in taxes is really a lot. Isn't there a way that we could just say that we're going to have a maximum of 4% tax increase a year, and you can all budget against that and make sure it doesn't go any higher? And although people in the audience thought this was a really good idea, it was certainly too late for this now, because the budget had already been presented and I think you was in the process of being voted on. And it is going to be an 8% increase, which is not going to be easy for us. This is not a wealthy community, even though people think it is. There are you know, about 40 or 50% of
40%.
40% of school kids are on subsidized lunches because they qualify financially for that. So, you know, that means we have a lot of families who are struggling. So an 8% increase is high, but the sense of a community that is in it together was very strong at the town meeting and really very gratifying. I mean, you know, not that, you know, we have great respect for people who disagree, and we welcome them to send us letters, and many of them are, you know, subscribers and even paying members of The Edge. I mean, I saw a woman who just became a member of The Edge, you know, a paying member, and she was voting differently from everything that I was voting for. She was sitting near me. But nevertheless, you know, there really was a great sense of the community working together to solve some of these problems. That was, you know, very exciting. And one of the, I don't mean to go on endlessly, but it's one of the things that this, you know, this town meeting system, you know, it's such a fascinating system, because it really is the town getting together an open forum and sharing ideas and coming to decisions together. And that is, you know, that's something that you only get in these New England town meetings.
Well, not only that, the town meeting itself is the government.
Yeah.
You know, it is the legislative body, and the select boards and the selectmen are simply the agents of the town meeting, and the decisions that the town meeting makes are binding upon the selectmen. So the selectmen don't decide where to spend money. The town meeting is the legislative body. So it's old fashioned, but it's community building. That's for sure.
Yeah, it is.
And it works.
See, it works.
See, around here, the town meetings are great around here. Now you go to school board meetings, and it's required. You have to bring boxing gloves for the school board meetings.
Well, no, we've had that, Marshall. I mean, we've had that where people are really arguing hard for one reason or another. But I must say, I want to emphasize what Marcy said. It was just astonishing how the school budget went through without a murmur, or maybe a little murmur, but quite remarkable. And that was before these students got up to talk about the bottle bill. So this was a mood that was prevalent in the meeting before that decision on the plastic bottles. So,
and there was another discussion too, which was kind of interesting, about funding for the libraries, because the town budget, in an effort to try to save money, had cut money to the libraries, and several people got up and talked about how important it was to have a library and a place for kids to go and learn after school, you know, for access to information. It was, you know, again, it was a very communal kind of conversation, because it was, you know, of course we all have cell phones and we all have computers and we all have access to information at homes, but the library is the kind of institution that anchors a community, and this is what people were saying, that we want the library. We want it to be lively. We want it to be a place for people to come together. We also want it a place for people to get information that they can't get, or to borrow books which they can't afford. And it was, you know, it was in the same spirit of, you know, we don't want to go the way of everybody fending for themselves. We want these centralized institutions where we can, you know, we can feel like a community. And that spirit was
strong. Yeah, shared resources. And
right.
The libraries here are quite lovely. But, it was amazing that there was a number of cuts in the budget here and there. One was parks and recreation. And people said, wait a minute, we love our parks. So let's not cut there. So they kept restoring.
They kept restoring the cuts.
Restoring the cuts.
That's nice when that happens.
The most, how often has that ever happened?
Doesn't happen a lot.
It does not. And this was just a remarkable town meeting. I can't say it was just... it made you feel good to be part of the community, that's for sure.
All right. Well, let's get on to we have now we only have about 2.5 minutes left, but
yeah.
Carol Owens strikes deep once again.
Yes, yes.
Oh, jeez. Isn't she something?
She's terrific.
Well, she's commenting about Elizabeth Freeman, who was known as Mum Bett, who was in the 1780s. Was a slave, actually, in Massachusetts. And she was, her life has become the subject of a film, and there's been a book by Jana Laez about her. And she lived in Sheffield. She was in the household of a Colonel John Ashley. And it was really a remarkable woman who... although she couldn't read or write, she was quite spunky and spirited and had a sense of justice. And smart. And she was overheard a conversation one time with between her employer, Ashley,
right.
And a lawyer named Theodore Sedgwick from Stockbridge, who... and they were talking about establishing the Massachusetts Constitution. And they were talking about equal rights for everyone in the state. And she piped up and said, "What about me? I'm a person. I live here. I should have the same rights as everyone else." And she astonished the lawyers. And Sedgwick said, "You know, you're right. You should." And he defended her, and it was written into the Constitution, the Massachusetts Constitution, we were the first state, I believe, to free the slaves.
In 1781.
1781.
Right. And so she then took, I mean, her name was Mum Bett, which means Mother Betty.
Mother Betty, that was the kind of affectionate... contraction of her name that people knew her as.
She took the name Elizabeth Freeman. I mean, it should have been Free Woman, but she took Free Man. And now there's an Elizabeth Freeman Center for the Protection of Women here in the Berkshires. It's a women's center for, you know, women who are abused and in trouble. So her legacy lives on, but she... So there is a movie being shot this summer in the Berkshires. I think it's at the home of Theodore Sedgwick.
No, it's at the home of the Ashleys.
I thought it was. Oh, well, anyway.
Yeah.
But Sedgwick, her lawyer and who argued her case, is the ancestor of the actress Kira Sedgwick and.
Yeah.
Edie Sedgwick, who was an artist and one of Andy Warhol's contingent, and they are a very interesting family.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, Mum Bett, Elizabeth Freeman, is buried in the Sedgwick plot in the Stockbridge Cemetery.
Right, and it's called the Sedgwick Pie,
right.
Because they are actually all buried in concentric circles radiating out from the center. So it's a famous place to visit in Stockbridge, and Mum Bett is buried with the family.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how much they thought of her.
We'll have to segue from the Sedgwicks because we're out of time.
Is General Sedgwick and his balls any relation?
That's right.
Pardon?
Yes.
General Sedgwick's. Never mind. We're out of time.
Yes, we're totally out of time. We're about a minute over, as a matter of fact. But we can continue on next week,
next
and people can find out more at.
The Berkshire Edge.
That's right, theberkshireedge.com.
Right.
All right, guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
That is this week's edition of the Berkshire Edge on Air, and you can find them at theberkshireedge.com on the web.